We turn tonight to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 5, and we will read together the verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, the verses 1 through 11. I would like to make a shameless public service announcement and invite you to think about being part of our Monday morning Bible study. We began studying the book of Luke, and I think we got to about chapter 7. That's how focused we are over a whole year's time, and we're going to pick up where we left off. And that Bible study group is going to have a little bit change of schedule. We used to meet the first and third Sundays of every month, and we're going to move that up to every other week now, and we're going to start on September 30th. That'll all be in print later, but just know that. You will be invited, you're welcome to be part of that at any time. And so you could jump right into that Bible study if that's a time that's available in your schedule. Now suppose that it's not. And suppose you always wanted to do a Bible study on Luke, whether you wanted to participate in it or you wanted to lead one. The handouts that I make are ones of probably 20 or 25 PowerPoint slides per week that I make available to everyone, and we always make extra copies, and they're down in that classroom, the large classroom in the new edition. And you'd be welcome to have those at any point, because my hope would be that what we study together, what we learn together, is not just something that we consume, but that we do something with. So my dream would be that those who participate in the Bible study someday do something with their handouts, because I think there's enough there that you could do a Bible study on your own. So just hear that as an invitation. The first session is September 30th. We meet from 9:30 to 11, unless the guy is long-winded, and then it's a little longer. And we will meet every other week beginning September 30th, so we welcome you. Luke chapter 5, this text has found its way into my imagination this week in part because I experienced Jesus to always be calling me deeper. And when I say that, I mean past my assumptions, past my exhaustion. It's almost as if Jesus is always beckoning me to go deeper and not settle for the places where I might stop. And my places of exhaustion or fear and anxiety, it's as if Jesus is calling me through those. And those words, go deeper, are found in the text tonight. And I'm going to start the sermon, or finish the sermon in the same place I'm going to start it, which is to just ask the question, where do you think Jesus might be calling you to go deeper? In a relationship, into some place that he wishes to grow you into, a place of pain, perhaps. That tends to be the place where we do the most growing. But ask yourself, beginning and end of this message, where are the places that Jesus might be calling me to go deeper? Before we read, let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the hands that have penned these words throughout the centuries, making copies and copies and copies, and preserving them that people like us might be able to feast on your word to your people. So thank you for those who have given up their lives to put these words in our hands and in our hearts. Thank you for those who have been moved by your Spirit to write them down the first time. Thank you for our Lord, who continues to show us new ways of living and responding. And we thank you for this time when we can pull all of these things together and let you do your good work in them and in us. So help us tonight as we read, as we listen, as we speak, as we seek to live out your call for us. Let something of this night together move us further and grow us more, not in our power or might, but in your grace. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. One day, Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, that is the Sea of Galilee. The people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and they followed him. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. I don't know about you, but for me, this is one of those Jesus stories that sticks to my ribs. It orchestrates our attention to Jesus, who is a miracle worker and a teacher, but also puts in front of us something amazing about discipleship, or we might say followership. And this week, I am reminded of Jesus' words to Simon Peter, "Go deeper." And I can only imagine what Peter's exasperated response must have been after a hard night of fishing that was unsuccessful. Inside, I must imagine him to say, "This is my trade, this is what I know, what do you know about it? And besides, I'm tired. I'm sweaty, I stink, and I'm exhausted." I suspect it's hard to imagine a regular work day, complete with typical frustrations that can come with work, or maybe it's not so hard. We have equipment that breaks down. We have people with demands. We have customers who have orders that need to be filled, and we have fears of lost revenue. On such days, usually the very last thing that you and I may want is for someone to make some suggestions. Most of us want the problems to go away, and sometimes those problems are people. But this was not the disciples' response to Jesus after a rough night of unsuccessful fishing. Maybe it was their respect for him, or perhaps it was their desperation. Perhaps it was God's miracle in front of them. And maybe Pastor Luke writes these things to people who are exhausted or at wit's end or who have nothing left. Maybe it's a reminder that God likes to work from nothing. Maybe it's the fact that God likes to start from scratch when we have absolutely nothing left. Now let's begin. So that's what the text is tonight, a miracle of fish and a miracle of faith, and it's a miracle of following. Who among us are ready to drop absolutely everything to follow Jesus? Seriously, who is ready to drop everything? And I'm not saying this when I ask this with any kind of preacher's glibness where you're supposed to answer the correct way with the right and easy answer. Yes, it's me. Yes, I'll drop everything. Really? Really? We know that's the right answer, but are we prepared to do it? This week I found myself more interested in how this question might get real traction in my life and perhaps yours. How much am I really willing to let go of for the sake of Jesus and the kingdom? How much could I leave behind today so that my attachments to things and people and my life don't interfere with my following? I don't have the answer to that, but I think that is the question, that is the invitation of the text that might be prompting us to think, how much am I really willing to let go of in the face of Jesus' call? So tonight, I wonder what it means for you and I to go deeper with Jesus. And you and I might be the first ones to say, I've gone to church all my life, whether that's for 12 years or whether that's for 88 years. You and I are tempted to think that we have this stuff figured out. Jesus, I know what it is that you want. I know what it is that you mean for my life. I know what you're calling me to. I've got this. And it's to just those kinds of people that Jesus says, go deeper. Drop your nets. Try again. But I don't want to. I don't want to because it's going to be uncomfortable and awkward. And what I learned from my childhood was that, Jesus, you are all about saving me. And we have checked that box. You've done it for me. I've made profession of faith. And so we're good there. You don't read about that in the Gospels. You read about a master who keeps calling his disciples to go deeper. Go further. Follow me. So that his words to us go deeper might not only exasperate us, they might haunt us because he may be right about something that we don't know about ourselves or that we don't see or that we thought was long settled, at least in our own minds. These men dropped everything. They dropped their fish. They dropped their nets, their boats, their equipment. They dropped their relationship with their fathers and their families. They left their reputation behind, their livelihood. And I never thought of it until this week. But this catch of fish, at least for one day, would mean that they were loaded. Not just with fish, but with money. And they left all of that behind. In the text, none of that matters. Possessions can possess, but possessions don't possess them. When my children were young, we would tell them to do many things, and my kids would always say what they still say now that they're a little bigger. Why? And we taught them from little on, not wanting to squelch their curiosity or squelch their spirits, to say, what you need to say is, yes, Mom, why? Or yes, Dad, why? Peter says yes. He says yes. And he doesn't ask why. He says yes even when he doesn't feel like it. Even if he's exasperated, even if he's not sure, maybe because he wants to be obedient, maybe because Jesus is trustworthy, maybe because he hears this inner summons calling him to go deeper and know Jesus at a very different kind of level. I'm not sure what motivated Peter, but this text is given to the church to hold up some kind of picture of discipleship that we would not otherwise have. And what I love about this text and what I love about the book of Luke, here's another invitation to join us, It's the second part of this text that draws all my energy and attention and gives rise to a whole other question, relates to Peter. As many of you know, the Gospel of Mark is the earliest of the Gospels. The other Gospels were written with Mark in mind. Luke tells us it is Simon's borrowed boat that Peter fell down and named himself as a sinner in the face of this miracle. Peter was not disqualified, but he showed his readiness. Simon, instead of killing fish, you're going to be taking people alive. And as I think about this, one of the unique phenomena in Luke is that he gives us a vision of the gospel where he puts Peter in the best possible lights. Better than Peter himself may have in the book of Mark. If it's true that this text holds a miracle, the miracle of faith and the miracle of following, then those miracles are not limited to wherever they may have happened, but they have an ongoing quality to them. So that the presence of God can show up and work even in our frustration. The presence of God can show up even in deep water, in amazing abundance. The presence of God can show up in a, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. How did that happen? The presence of God can show up in the bursting of nets. Because our capacity to hold God's miracles is limited. We burst at the seams because God always has much more to offer than we can ever hold. I think this text reminds us that there's something greater than fish, greater than what we hold on to, and Jesus will send us where we would have never imagined. So the response is ours, as it always is, to figure out what does this mean for our lives. And as we do, Jesus reminds us in the text, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of the miracles that are around you, of the challenges that you are facing. Don't be afraid of the unexpected. Don't be afraid in the deeper waters. Don't be afraid of the crowds. Don't be afraid because I am here calling you. I'm calling you into deeper waters. And surely it will be a stretch, but in the text, Jesus is on the boat telling us to go deeper. He's not standing on the shore, but he's on the boat saying, go deeper, I am with you. So I wonder what the deeper waters are for you. And for me tonight, the very one who calls us to go deeper is the very one on the boat with us, saying, be not afraid. Be not afraid. What's the deeper for you? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, many of us were raised with a faith that meant making sure that we were saved. As we hear the call of this text tonight, we realize that there is so much more than just salvation. You summon us to other things. So forgive us when we have made following you something that ends with our salvation. Give us eyes to see people and calling that is larger than what we would have imagined. Draw us into deeper conversations, into deeper relationships, into deeper influence, into intersections that we would have never imagined in retirement or in our teenage years or in our middle life. Keep calling us out until we listen, until we say, yes, because you have said it. And speak through all of our places of exhaustion and our places of fear. And call us again for service in your kingdom. So, if we find ourselves this night fearful and wondering about the promises of your rescue, comfort us and remind us that you've got that taken care of. Then we pray that you would disturb our peacefulness, as you often do, and remind us that there's more. So give us the courage to say yes to your call and to be faithful as we follow you. We pray it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.